Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call on Thursday night, the special primetime edition, as we look ahead towards Game 6 of the Eastern Conference semifinals between the Boston Celtics and Cleveland Cavaliers in what could be the final game for one LeBron James as a Cleveland Cavalier if Boston advances and finishes the Cavaliers off. And listen, how would you like to be a Cleveland Cavaliers fan right now? Or how would you like to be a Cleveland sports fan in general? I mean, you've suffered through decades of either mediocre play through your sports teams or heartbreaking moments, whether it be Ernest Byron with the fumble against Denver in the AFC Championship, John Elway with the 98-yard drive, getting the AFC Championship that stopped Cleveland from going to the Super Bowl. You know, Michael Jordan hits a shot over Craig Elo. You finally catch a break in 2003, getting the number one pick, getting LeBron James, and now in 48 minutes, it could be all up in smoke. I'm telling you right now, and there'll be plenty of time to speculate on this if Cleveland season win and if Cleveland season ends without a championship, whether that be this round or the next or even NBA Finals. If Cleveland loses this game, he is absolutely out the door. I mean, there's no getting around it. There's no sugarcoating it. LeBron James will not be a Cleveland Cavalier next year if they lose to the Boston Celtics. Period. There's just no question in my mind that he'll be gone. This was not in the cards. I mean, the Celtics were supposed to be a nice tune-up, so to speak, was supposed to be a tough six-game series, and let's get ready for Orlando. Instead, Rajon Rondo has been the best player on the floor on either team. And truthfully, the Celtics have outplayed the Cavaliers 4 out of 5 games. Cleveland had a good fourth quarter in game one and played great throughout in game three. So this could be it for the Cleveland, not only for the Cleveland Cavaliers, but for LeBron James. And if it's LeBron James out of Cleveland, then their franchise is, I mean, please, the franchise would be, might as well be an expansion team. Okay. So certainly a lot on the line for not only this franchise, but frankly, for LeBron James. You know, he can downplay all he wants about legacy, and I understand he can't panic or he can't have too much of an overreaction towards the performance in Game 5. But up until this point, he loses his game, and to me, his legacy takes a major shot. Point blank, there's no getting around it. He would have lost the series, and where the team's clearly the better team as far as what they've had, as far as you compare Cleveland to Boston. Lost to a team that 2 years ago beat them, that you would have thought that, you know, Cleveland would have had the revenge factor, would have played a part of it. An aging Boston team at that. I know Rondo's playing great. I know Bucardet has played well in this series. I understand that. And Ray Allen has had some moments. But the Cleveland Cavaliers are not supposed to lose to the Boston Celtics. This is not how the steps of progression goes in the NBA, okay? Teams get to a certain level. They might get to the first round. They might get to the second round. They might, get to the conference finals, get to the finals. The Cavaliers are going backwards as far as how this series is going. And the Cavaliers have been to, they've been to a finals. They've been to at least, at worst, the second round of every playoff series that LeBron James, every playoff season since LeBron James has gotten there, when LeBron James got him in the playoffs since 2006, won 60 games last year. Okay, lost to a bad team in Orlando with the bad matchups. Went out, got all these pieces, Shaq, Anthony Parker, DeMario Moon, made the trade for Antoine Jameson, you know, drafted J.J. Hickson. All these moves, and they all can go down the toilet tonight in 48 minutes. To a team that is an aging basketball team. To a team that they know coming into this series was going to be desperate. The Boston Celtics are absolutely, they're flat out playing harder than Cleveland. They want it more than Cleveland right now. That's why they win the series. They want it more than Cleveland right now. They're playing like they've never won a championship. Boston won a championship 2 years ago. Okay? Garnett, Pierce, Allison retired right now. Hall of Fame, championship ring. Nobody would talk about the fact that they did not win a second championship. Nobody would care about that. They got their championship. They won. They're playing the way Cleveland, they're playing with the same ferocity and desperation that Cleveland should be playing with. Hunger that Cleveland should be playing with, that you see Orlando playing with. That you see Phoenix with Steve Nash, who is playing with. This could be the closest Steve Nash ever gets to a championship, to win his first. Where is that from the Cleveland Cavaliers? Where has that been? And it begins and ends with LeBron James. Yeah, we can criticize Mike Brown for adjustments that he hasn't made, leaving you know Shaquille O'Neal, too much Shaquille O'Neal in the last game. But the bottom line is, LeBron James, two-time MVP, supposedly the best player in the world, he has had an average series. Think about the series that LeBron James has had. Game one, he played very well. 35 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists. Had struggled in the first half, exploded in the second half, and Cleveland won the game going away. Game two, he was average at best. Cleveland gets their doors blown off. Game three, his best game of the playoffs by far and away, came out, set the tone. They ran Boston off the court. Game four, again, average, at best, average. Average of LeBron James is mediocre. And game five was one of the worst big game performances I've ever seen out of an NBA player of that magnitude. Maybe the worst in that spot. I've never seen a Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, and Michael Jordan, Isaiah Thomas, Charles Barkley, Kobe Bryant, Shaquille O'Neal play a game in their primes. Now keep this in mind, in their primes, play a game of that ilk in a situation where the series is tied up to game five at home. I've never seen that in my life, ever. Okay? And again, I said it last Saturday, after he played the great game three, I don't want to hear anything about the elbow anymore. Okay, if he played a bad series where he's playing every game poorly and not making shots in every single game he struggled, then okay. But he played great in game one, played great in game three. I don't want to hear it. He's not going to make excuses for it, which I give him credit for not doing. So I don't want to hear anything about the elbow. Elbow is it hurt? Is it an injury that comes and goes? It seems like it's just coming and going. But again, I don't want to hear about it. Don't want to hear about it. You know, Kobe Bryant plays with basically three different injuries. They say he's getting old. As far as Cleveland, what they have to do to win this game, to me, it goes without saying, LeBron James has to be LeBron James, the two-time MVP LeBron James. He has to be dominant. He has to come out. He cannot look to pass the ball and set his teammates up in the first quarter. He has to be aggressive. He has to score the basketball. He has to take shots. I don't care if he's 2-for-10 in the first quarter or 3-for-12. I don't care. He has to be aggressive and set the tone with that. then get everybody else involved. Because if I'm LeBron James, this is how I'm looking at it. This is how I'm viewing this game if I'm LeBron James. But, you know, put aside the fact that it could be the last game of the season. Do you really, based on what you've seen in this series, do you really have confidence in a Mo Williams, in an Antoine Jameson, in a, you know, Delonte West or Anthony Parker? Do you really have confidence in these guys up to this point in the series? Think about it. Do you really have the confidence that where you could just say, you know what, I'm going to sit back, set them up, and then I'll work myself into this game, consider it being an elimination game? You can't have confidence in these guys at this point. I mean, Mo Williams is getting destroyed in this series. He's getting destroyed. He was getting destroyed by Rondo. Then now he's getting destroyed by Ray Allen. So if I'm LeBron James, I have to look at it and say, you know what? I almost have to single-handedly try to win this game. I'm not leaving any bullets in the chamber if I'm LeBron James. We go out, we're going to go out with me shooting, you know, 12 for 30 if I have a bad shooting night. He should not take less in this game. He should not take less than 25 shots. Without questions. If he takes below anybody, unless it's a blowout where everybody else is getting hot, if this game is a close game, and I expect it to be so, he should not take less than 25 shots. If he takes anything less than that, than 20 to 25 shots, then that's a major problem. And I frankly don't see how Cleveland will win this game. I don't trust any of those guys at this point in the series. I really don't. And I don't think that the media's reaction was knee-jerk after that Game 5. We talked about that earlier in terms of how people reacting after Game 2 when Cleveland got blown out. And I thought people jumped off the bandwagon too quick. And then they came back in Game 3, played great. Game 5 was just unexplainable. That was just something that you could never envision. The most negative person in the world in terms of being a Cleveland fan and not envision and not saw that. And saw that coming. Even if you thought you were gonna lose Game 5 if you're a Cleveland fan, that game, I mean, not a million years. So again, to me, Cleveland, I think Cleveland cannot afford to give Shaq too many touches. If you want to, this is how I would treat Shaq. I would somewhat treat Shaq like the Bulls used to treat their big men in the Jordan days. Give him some touches early, give him a stab a little bit early, and then, you know, periodically, you know, give him touches when he's in the game. And Shaq should not play more than 20 minutes. I'm telling you, right? That's the number for him, 20 and under. He's not played more than 20 minutes because, to me, in this series, Cleveland's best lineup, they're at their best when they go small, when they have either Hickson or Varischel and have LeBron James and LeBron at the four. Preferably Varischel at the four, at the five, and have LeBron at the four. Because with that lineup, you can play Mo Williams, either Delonte West or Anthony Parker, and you can even play Jameson at the three. He is that versatile. He's versatile enough to play the three. Or play Anthony Parker at the three. If Paul Pierce is in the game, the guard Paul Pierce. Or try guard Paul Pierce. But to me, Shaquille O'Neal cannot be on the floor during key minutes if this game is tight. He can't. I mean, he's not at the stage of his career to where you should be at any time of the game running your offense through him. And there have been too many times in the past two games where you got the sense where Cleveland was running offense through Shaquille O'Neal. I mean, there's no getting around it. And Shaq has played well. I'm not knocking Shaq as far as his level of play, but he's 38 years old. He is a bit role player on this team. He's a role player. You don't run your offense through a role player. And to me, you know, I would go Shaquille 15 to 20 minutes and no more than that. From a Celtics standpoint, listen, the Celtics obviously don't want to go back to Cleveland. And I think the Celtics understand that, and I expect the Celtics to play very well tonight. Now, they can play very well, they can still lose, you know, because I still believe, in spite of what has happened towards this in this series, that Cleveland's A game cannot be handled by the Celtics. Their A game, it can be. Their A game, but we've only seen that A game for better part. For basically, we've only seen that A game once for 48 minutes, and that was in game 3. Both teams play well, Cleveland wins. It's just that simple to me. But I don't expect this effort. I don't expect a similar effort to what you saw in game 3 out of Boston. Apparently, after game 2, they were a little bit too full of themselves. You know, Doc really had some, they had a couple bad practices leading up to that game. Doc Rivers did not like the team's makeup or mind, the team's mindset going to game 3, and they got their doors blown off. That will not be the case in this game. Again, they're a veteran team. They understand, you know, closeout situations. They understand that this could be their best chance and their last chance, only chance, their best chance and last chance to put this team away and, you know, try to keep alive their hopes for another NBA championship. And that's been, to me, one of the most understated things in this series is how desperate Boston is. Just how desperate to win this series and to try to win that championship that they are. They are. I mean, Boston has played hard every single game. Even the game they got blown out, that was a lack of effort. That, again, to me, that was just a mindset to where they thought they got too comfortable. And maybe they took their foot off the gas. I don't think that was a lack of effort. And Cleveland just played great that game. So Boston, you know, again, I expect them to play well. This game will be a very tight, closely contested game that will be decided in the fourth quarter. Still to come on this playoff edition, game 6 edition of the Saturday morning wake-up call, I will get back to the series. We'll get back to the series and give off a prediction and what may come of the summer of LeBron 2010. Talk about that a little bit as well. That's still to come on this latest edition of the Saturday morning wake-up call. Other thing I want to touch on that's been kind of put to the side because of what happened on Tuesday with the Celtics Cavaliers is this Brian Cushing situation in regards to him getting back his award, winning his award for a second time. I think that's history. That guy has never won the same award in the NFL twice. In one year, he won the same award defensive rookie of the year. As you all know, Cushing tested positive for a non-steroid drug that masks, that hides the steroid use. It's called HCG. The problem is, he tested positive for this last September, okay? Before the season started, he tested positive for this, but the NFL allows him to play an entire season in where he's second team All-Pro, makes the Pro Bowl, and voted Defensive Rookie of the Year, okay? They decide, even in January when he was voted Defensive Rookie of the Year, made the Pro Bowl. Now they come out last week and say, you know, he's suspended for 4 games. He has banned from all any awards this year, whether it be Pro Bowl, second team, all pro teams, or even if he was to get defensive player of the year. Something wrong with that pitcher? So let me get this straight. You knew about this in September, but chose not to punish him at that particular time. You let this linger on until basically May, when the awards been given out 4 months ago. And then you decide, the Associated Press decides to take a revote, and he wins again. He wins the same award again. Number one, okay, you're gonna do the revote, fine. You don't want to have the award. Why is he on the ballot the second time? I don't understand that. Now, lad, the first vote he won in a landslide. It was 39 votes. There, 50 votes, 50 riders, 50 guys voted. He won 39 votes. The next closest guy, Jerry's brother of the Bills, had 6 votes. This one obviously was closer, 18 to 13. But why? If you're trying to make a point of not wanting him to get the award because of the steroid use, why was he on the ballot in the first place? The second time. Matter of fact, why was he on the ballot in the first place back in September? But let's put September aside. You already made that mistake. You had a chance to fix it by not. Forget about. Hey, listen, I don't criticize the writers who voted for him again. Some of us I heard say, hey, how do you know that James Byrd, is not using steroids? How do you know that this guy's not fine? I can understand their points. Don't put him on the ballot the second time. I've never seen the NFL screw up a situation as badly as they screwed up this one. And truthfully, a naysayer can criticize the NFL for also having him not be able to receive any awards this year after serving his suspension. He's going to serve a 4-game suspension. He'll be eligible, say, October 4th to play football. The last time I checked, when you serve a suspension, the slate should be clean. Shouldn't your slate be clean unless you mess up again? So after he serves the suspension, he's not going to be eligible for the Pro Bowl, any All-Pro teams, or any other awards that you could possibly win for the 2010 season for an infraction that was committed in the 2009 season. You try to figure it out. I can't figure it out. Somebody help me figure this out. So you can go to twitter.com/WilliamGerald to ask a question or give me an explanation. Or go to my Facebook page at facebook.com/CyrilQuinn. Somebody help me. Because I can't, I'm at a loss of words right now with this situation. The NFL, what the NFL did? It took the scenic route. It took the scenic route. It didn't go from point A to point B. It went from point A to point Z. Then it went from point Z to point W. Then it went from W to D. And finally it decided to go back to A and then to B. That's what the NFL did. Let's not suspend him for the first 4 games of the 2009 season. That would just make too much sense. Let's not eliminate him for all the awards for the 2009 season, Pro Bowl, All-Pro, what have you, Defensive Player, Rookie of the Year Award. That would just make too much sense. Let's wait till 2010 and drop this bombshell in May. In May, 3 to 4 months after the award has been given out. When the season's over. Let's wait until after this draft. We don't want to get in the distraction of the NFL draft. So let's wait a couple weeks after the draft. It's NFL. You're kidding me. You have to be kidding me with this situation. And again, why was he on the ballot the second time? Somebody help me out with that one. Why was he even on the ballot? The NFL, these are one of these situations where all you can do is just shake your head, scratch your head, and just, it makes zero sense to me. It makes zero sense. Through all this, Brian Cushing is still the 2009 NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year. Through all this nonsense. I mean, it's unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, first when you heard about the situation, you're saying like, what? Hey, you know, okay, you get suspended. I'm like, well, if he tested positive in September of 2009, where, like, you know, what was the holdup at that point? I don't understand that. You know, he tested positive for a bad substance, but you allow him to play an entire football season. Then he goes out there and has a great season, finishes second team All Pro, makes the Pro Bowl, and wins Defensive Rookie of the Year. And you don't take action until May of 2010. I just don't get it from the NFL. I don't get it at all. Again, I'm not knocking the writers who voted for him for the second time, because they're probably just as confused as I am. I'm not knocking those guys. I'm not knocking the ones who did vote for him. I'm not knocking the ones who didn't vote for him, to be honest with you. So there you go with that situation. Tiger Woods also does not have a serious neck injury. It's not a bulging disc. It's still going to keep him out. It still is going to be something that can linger throughout the course of the year. Who knows what Tiger Woods is going to do? It's starting to look like Tiger Woods should just, you know, call it a year and get himself situated, get healthy, get himself mentally and physically back to where he was, and just call it a year. I mean, that makes the most sense to me. If you are Tiger Woods, I mean, I understand that you're giving up three majors, but again, you're only 33 years old. It's not like you're 40. So I think he gets to that point to where he could just call it a year and get his life together. But getting back to Boston and Cleveland, of course, they will play tonight in roughly about 34 minutes, 8 o'clock tip-off on ESPN. You have Van Gundy, Mark Jackson, Mike Breen, of course, calling the game. And listen, I want to sit up here and I want to tell you that, you know, I picked Cleveland to win the championship before the playoffs started. Thought they were the best team, thought they were primed and poised, thought they had taken the necessary steps of progression. Lakers were down. Obviously, Lakers were not playing as well as they're playing right now. And I didn't see the tornado, the Hurricane Orlando that came out of nowhere and just stormed their first two opponents in the Eastern Conference. But, you know, right now, I find Cleveland hard to trust. I mean, it would be a great story, you know, for LeBron to go out there, for them to go out there, win game six in Boston, wrap it up in game seven, and then go on and possibly win the NBA championship. That would sound great. This would be a turning point in terms of where they became a team, in terms of where they got, you know, mentally strong, facing adversity, and the whole nine yards. It would sound great. But I just don't have the confidence in this team facing a situation like this, adversity, and trying to come back. There's really no championship, other than Shaq, there's really no championship pedigree for this team. Other than Shaq, again, I think they'll play better tonight. They can't play any worse than what they play, so that's not saying much. But I think if they were playing a young, up-and-coming team, that'd be one thing. Who couldn't handle this moment, and you know, and who I could see choking. I don't see the Celtics choking. I think the Celtics will come out, you know, will come out, play well, and understand the situation at hand. And they, again, the Celtics have been there, they've done that, they've won a championship. They understand the mindset. And you heard Garnett after the game a couple of days ago, say, you know, basically, we cannot come back here. So you know what the mindset is already for the Boston Celtics. End it tonight, and I think they will. And I think that tomorrow we're going to be facing a million and one questions on where LeBron James is going. The summer of LeBron will start May 14th, and I think I think Celtics will be headed to Orlando for game one of the Eastern Conference Final on Sunday. Again, our program note, we'll be doing a program on Saturday. I will be doing either game one of the Eastern Conference Finals, previewing that. We'll do a preview show for about a half an hour. Also, we'll do a post game after the game is over, just to get that kind of instant take after the game is over. And I'll do that for either game one of the Eastern Conference Finals or game seven between Boston and Cleveland as well, as we'll talk about that. So I'll see you. I will see you both Sunday Sunday afternoon and Sunday evening as well. So long. Enjoy the night and enjoy the game.